听力课堂，听 class.com。
本制品由中国人民大学出版社音像部制作出版发行，尊重知识产权，请勿泛用。
Unit 7, Smoking and Anti-Smoking. Section 1.
Part 1.
A long time ago, no one in Europe smoked, and the tobacco plant was unknown then. It grew in America, and Christopher Columbus found it there. Later, he returned to Europe and told everyone about it. He said that the American Indians often smoked it. One way that they smoked it was like this. The American Indians would throw some tobacco leaves on the fire. Then they put long tubes in their mouth. The other end of the tube was over the fire, so they were able to draw the smoke into their mouth. In about the year 1660, the Frenchman Juan Nicour was living in Lisbon, Portugal. He was very interested in all American plants. Some of them were very different from the plants of Europe. He, and other men too, used tobacco leaves to cure pain. If a man had pain in the leg or in an arm, Nicour put the tobacco on the painful place and tried to cure the pain in that way. We say now that tobacco contains nicotine. The word nicotine comes from that man's name.
Part 2. The World Health Organization has launched a new global anti-smoking campaign. It has adopted an aggressive advertising format to fight the tobacco industry. The campaign will be translated into 6 languages and seen in 191 countries around the world. The Geneva-based WHO estimates that tobacco kills 11,000 people a day worldwide. These figures have prompted the organization to take action. The current campaign will take on board the experience of successful counter-advertising and community-based actions in the US. It will try to influence public policy so that strict regulation of the tobacco industry can become a global reality. Aggressive anti-smoking advertising like this in California has led to lung and bronchial cancer rates falling in the state by more than 14%. We are going to target everyone. People who smoke, people who do not smoke. We believe by empowering non-smokers to be far more active to their rights to clean air and their rights to protect future generations, we are likely to see progress. Anti-smoking campaigns around the world are having an effect, but they still face a broad political challenge. Many governments in Asia, for example, have stakes in the tobacco industry. They also derive much-needed revenues from cigarette taxes. WHO officials admit it won't be an easy task, but they believe that as public awareness grows, this is one battle they can win.
Section 2.
Part 1.
High-profile legal battles and aggressive public anti-smoking campaigns have had no effect in reducing the number of adult smokers in the United States over the past 10 years, experts report. Adult smoking has remained unchanged in the 1990s and is falling short of the nation's public health goal of reducing smoking to no more than 15% by the year 2000, write officials at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, in Atlanta, Georgia. CDC experts say that smoking has fallen considerably over the past 36 years, dropping from a peak consumption rate of 4,345 cigarettes per person in 1963 to just 2,261 per person in 1998. However, rates plateaued during the 1990s, remaining relatively static between 1993, when 25% of Americans over 18 years of age smoked, 1995, 24.7%, and 1997, 24.7%. There are now over 48 million adult smokers in the US. Smokers are younger than ever before, according to the CDC. They explain that in the past, smoking was most popular amongst adults aged 25 to 44 years. However, as the 21st century approaches, smokers aged 18 to 24 and 25 to 44 years are smoking at equal rates, according to the researchers. Although smoking rates have flattened out among those over 25, experts say that they may be increasing among young adults. On a positive note, the CDC authors note that over 44 million adults can now call themselves former smokers. Another 16 million current smokers said they tried to quit at least once during the year previous to the study.
Part 2. I wanted to find out how effective cigarette filters are in protecting smokers from the harmful residue of cigarette smoke. My father and I devised a way to collect all the smoke from a cigarette in a clear plastic bottle. We wanted to see if the smoke from a filtered cigarette left less visible residue than the smoke from an unfiltered one. We also wanted to see if a low-tar cigarette left even fewer residues than a normal filtered cigarette. Along the way, we found out that low-tar cigarettes seemed to smoke differently from normal cigarettes. They burned slower and they produced less smoke. In fact, they didn't leave much visible residue in a plastic bottle. Then we wanted to find out if it was true that the low-tar cigarettes burned more slowly than regular cigarettes. So we figured out a way to count the number of measured puffs our vacuum cleaner could take with each kind of cigarette. We discovered that a filter does protect the smoker from some of the harmful smoke residue, but the low-tar cigarette made a dramatic difference in the amount of residue. There was almost none that we could see. We also found out that the low-tar cigarettes do burn more slowly than the normal filtered cigarettes, and non-filtered cigarettes burn even faster than the filtered ones.
Section 3. Nervous investors pushed US tobacco stock prices down on Monday as the penalty phase in the landmark Florida Six Smokers case got underway in Miami, with potentially hundreds of billions of dollars at stake. Philip Morris Company, Inc. and R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Holdings, Inc., the two nations' biggest cigarette makers, along with the parent companies of smaller players such as Brown & Williamson Tobacco Corporation and Lorillard Tobacco Company, all saw their shares fall between 4 and 6%. On the New York Stock Exchange, shares of New York-based Philip Morris, the maker of the Marlboro brand, fell about 6%, or 1.5%, to 23 11/16, while RJR, the parent of the Camel brand maker, tumbled 1 to 20 11/16. Stock in Lois Corporation, which controls 8% of the US cigarette market through Lorillard, plummeted 3 7/8 to 67. American Depository Receipts of British American Tobacco PLC, parent of number 3 US cigarette company, Brown & Williamson, fell 9/16 to 13 3/8, not far above their 52-week low of 13 1/8. Officials at Lois had no comment on the 3-point drop. The company is expected to post earnings on Wednesday. Investor anxiety was sparked 2 weeks ago after a Florida state appeals court refused to shelter U.S. tobacco companies from punitive damages in the case, a decision that sent the stocks to, or near to, an all-time low. A 6-member jury must now determine whether to set a monetary award in the case, and a judge will then decide whether the big tobacco companies must make an immediate payment of any lump sum damages award, or the posting of a massive cash bond if the industry loses again. Analysts said that they believe the day's sell-off is unwarranted given the expected length of the penalty phase. Bonnie Herzog of Credit Suisse, First Boston, predicted a verdict wouldn't be heard until the end of the year or the first part of next year. Unit 8. Health. Section 1.
Part 1. A man took his pregnant wife to the hospital to give birth, and the doctor told them that he had developed an experimental machine and asked if they'd like to try it out. He explained carefully that the machine could take some of the pain of childbirth from the mother and give it to the father. Both the husband and the wife thought this was a wonderful idea and decided to give it a try. The doctor set the knob on the machine to 10% for starters, explaining to the man that even 10% was probably more pain than he had ever experienced. But the man was surprised at how little pain he felt and asked the doctor to go ahead and turn it up a notch. The doctor twisted the knob up to 20% and checked the husband's blood pressure, which was fine. Amazed, the doctor turned the knob again and increased the pain threshold to 50%. Still feeling nothing, the husband encouraged the doctor to give him all the pain. Again, dumbfounded, the doctor increased the load to 100%. After his wife had given birth, the man stood up, stretched a little, and helped his wife into the car, both of them feeling fine. When they got home, they found the mailman dead on the doorstep. Part 2.
For several months, our nurses have been baffled to find a dead patient in the same bed every Friday morning, a spokeswoman for the Pelonomi Hospital, Free State, South Africa, told reporters. There was no apparent cause for any of the deaths, and extensive checks on the air conditioning system and a search for possible bacterial infection failed to reveal any clues. However, further inquiries have now revealed the cause of these deaths. It seems that every Friday morning, a cleaner would enter the ward, remove the plug that powered the patient's life support system, plug her floor polisher into the vacant socket, then go about her business. When she had finished her chores, she would plug the life support machine back in and leave, unaware that the patient was now dead. She could not, after all, hear the screams and eventual death rattle over the whirring of her polisher. We are sorry, and have sent a strong letter to the cleaner in question. Further, the Free State Health and Welfare Department is arranging for an electrician to fit an extra socket, so there should be no repetition of this incident. The inquiry is now closed. Section 2.
Part 1. Adults younger than 65 lacked private health insurance were 35% more likely to die between 1986 and 1995 than similar adults who did have insurance, according to a study released on Monday. The high mortality of individuals without health insurance may be due to their inability to get appropriate care during lapses or gaps in insurance coverage, or perhaps to other socio-economic factors like unemployment or a lack of education, said the study, released by the University of Colorado at Boulder. Social factors such as not having insurance may be more important than behavioural risk factors such as smoking or not exercising, the study's authors said. All of these factors are important, but money may make a bigger difference. Richard Rogers of the University of Colorado at Boulder said, for instance, factors that indirectly encourage people to smoke include low education, low income, and employment. So socio-economic factors must be understood as important factors that influence mortality. Rogers said in a statement, the study, Living and Dying in the USA, was also written by Robert Hummer of the University of Texas at Austin and Charles Nam of Florida State University. The authors examined the National Health Interview Study, given to 120,000 people each year. They then linked to the responses of everyone 18 and older to mortality data for each year during the 9-year study period. Part 2.
British health officials announced plans on Monday to set new hygiene standards for hospitals to combat the spread of so-called superbugs. The Department of Health said national guidelines were aimed at fighting hospital-acquired infections such as MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, which are resistant to some antibiotics. This issue affects thousands of patients throughout the National Health Service, the NHS, said Junior Health Minister John Denham. Elderly people, the very young, and those who have had major operations can all find themselves seriously ill as a result of these bugs. From next year, every NHS hospital in England will have to measure its performance in controlling hospital-acquired infections against 15 national standards, a Department of Health spokesman said. He said the national plan included hygiene training for all staff and the setting up of infection control teams in every hospital. The government is determined to make sure that national standards apply across the health service, the spokesman said. Infections like MRSA have been dubbed superbugs because of their resistance to some antibiotics. In the United States, doctors estimate as many as 70% of the bacteria in infections people catch in hospital are now resistant to at least one antibiotic.
Part 3. Death rates of women suffering from bowel cancer in Britain have dropped by more than a third thanks to earlier detection and better treatment, cancer experts said Thursday. 36% fewer women and 20% fewer men died of the disease, Britain's second biggest cancer killer, between 1971 and 1998, according to a study released this week. We're delighted that more lives are being saved from bowel cancer, said Dr. Leslie Walker of the Cancer Research Campaign Charity, which conducted the study. But UK survival rates are still lagging far behind those in the US, and this shameful situation can only be changed with greater investment in our health service, Walker added. The 5-year survival rate for bowel cancer in the United States, where people are screened for the disease, is 60%, compared to just 40% in Britain. The researchers are also interested in finding out why women's death rates are dropping faster than men's are. They suspect women are more likely to be diagnosed with the disease earlier. More than 30,000 new cases and 70,000 deaths from the disease are reported each year in Britain. Medical studies suggest up to 80% of cases be linked to diet. A diet low in red and processed meat with lots of fruit, vegetables and fibre is recommended to reduce the risk of bowel cancer. Britain is considering introducing a national screening programme to detect the disease and is currently running pilot programmes for about 1 million people to determine if it is effective.
Section 3. Two of America's largest drug companies have announced plans to merge. The $71 billion deal was unveiled on Thursday. The merger is between American Home Products Corporation and the Warner Lambert Company. The deal will create the world's largest maker of prescription drugs. American Home has recently been struggling as a result of lawsuits and product safety questions. It has been seeking a merger partner after two previous deals collapsed. Last month, the company reached a nearly $5 billion deal with thousands of people to settle claims that one of its diet drugs caused heart problems. Warner Lambert has been America's fastest-growing drug company for the past 2 years. The two companies have similar cultures, and their headquarters are just a few miles apart. The new company will be called America Warner Incorporated. Its combined sales are expected to be some $26 billion, and it should become the market leader for prescription drugs. In terms of worldwide sales, American Home and Warner Lambert combined rank third in terms of prescription drugs, over-the-counter medicines, and related healthcare products. By joining forces, drug companies can spread the costs of developing new medicines. At the same time, they can increase their market penetration with a single, recognizable name. Consumers are also pressuring drugs companies to slow the rising prices of their medicine. Unit 9. Automobiles. Section 1.
Part 1. In a recent issue of Meat and Poultry magazine, editors quoted from Feathers, the publication of the California Poultry Industry Federation, telling the following story. It seems the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration has a unique device for testing the strength of windshields on airplanes. The device is a gun that launches a dead chicken at a plane's windshield at approximately the speed the plane flies. The theory is that if the windshield doesn't crack from the carcass impact, it'll survive a real collision with a bird during flight. It seems the British were very interested in this and wanted to test a windshield on a brand new speedy locomotive they're developing. They borrowed the FAA's chicken launcher, loaded the chicken, and fired. The ballistic chicken shattered the windshield, went through the engineer's chair, broke an instrument panel, and embedded itself in the back wall of the engine cab. The British were stunned and asked the FAA to recheck the test to see if everything was done correctly. The FAA reviewed the test thoroughly and had one recommendation. Use a thawed chicken. Part 2.
More than 30,000 drivers and front seat passengers are killed or seriously injured each year. However, the experiment has shown that wearing a seatbelt can save lives. It can reduce a chance of death or serious injury by more than 50%. Therefore, drivers must wear a seatbelt on their way. If they don't, they could be fined up to $50. That is, those drivers have to pay $50 as a kind of punishment. The passengers in front seats of vehicles have to wear a seatbelt too. It is the driver's responsibility to remind the front seat passengers to wear a seatbelt. People who died in accidents often forget to put it on. In 1975, a law was passed. A car without a seatbelt is not allowed to drive, and drivers not wearing it will be punished. They will be fined or their driving license will be taken away. As more cars and vehicles are running in the streets, wearing a seatbelt becomes more important and necessary. But many people are too lazy to wear it. Now it is high time to warn these people again. Section 2.
Part 1. At Mercedes-Benz, we believe you should be comfortable under any driving condition, especially on long trips with the children. To achieve this goal, we have consistently addressed a number of key issues. Passenger comfort is one. Our flagship, the S-Class, now features fully automated rear and front seats that pneumatically adjust to your body shape. You can even set them to gently massage your back on those long journeys. Of course, the smoothness of the ride is also critical. Our new airmatic suspension system uses air cushions to reduce unwanted car movement markedly during cornering and braking. So if the children fall asleep, they'll remain undisturbed. Then there is the question of personal safety. To feel completely comfortable behind the wheel, you must not only feel safe, but know your passengers are as well. Particularly when it comes to your little bundle of joy. It's one of the reasons we have developed our airbag technology to sense when the child seat is in place and adjust deployment accordingly. Finally, driver concentration. Recently, we developed a steering wheel control system that places important driver functions at your fingertips and lets you monitor them via an interactive display. Unfortunately, it does not come with kid control, but all things considered, you shouldn't need it. Mercedes-Benz, the future of the automobile.